time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back to Mitten Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. We have another hour of sports to dive into, all things happening here inside of the Mitten. We'll talk about what's happening with our Detroit Pistons and those Detroit Red Wings as Little Caesars Arena is basically on fire right now. We'll touch on the Detroit Lions and the unfortunate reality that they are living in at this current moment. And of course, we'll get in on Michigan football as they have a bowl game coming up. They're still in their coaching search. And we'll also touch Michigan and Michigan State basketball before we get into our picks at the end of the show to wrap it all up. Of course, I'm sorry to you Lions fans, but I'm feeling amazing as a Packers fan after your loss on Christmas Day. You know, we cashed in and we are now in the playoffs, regardless of what happens later today against the Baltimore Ravens. So I am happy. I am blessed. The Michigan Wolverines basketball team is at a top-notch tier of basketball play right now. Hopefully Michigan Wolverines can pull out a tough win against the Texas Longhorns. And then obviously the Red Wings and the Pistons are the best part of being a sports fan in Michigan right now, as they are both absolutely rolling. So I'm excited to get into another weekend full of sports as box lacrosse NLL is all the way in season now. So I get to watch that at the end of my nights as well, along with all the other sports. So I'm going to have an amazing weekend. I hope that you do the same. But now that we've gotten through the obligatory, it's time to talk about some unfortunate news. The Detroit Lions, after suffering a loss on Christmas Day to the Vikings, 23-10, which we'll dive into that game in just a moment, they have now been swept by two NFC North opponents in the Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. They do have a one-game lead on the Bears, but it doesn't mean much when you are 8-8 and you're sitting at the bottom of the division. The bottom of the division. The Detroit Lions are in fourth place in the NFC North. And honestly, it is baffling. If you told any Detroit Lions fan that they would lead the league in points, they would be near the bottom in turnovers, that they would only have 8 wins and would be at the bottom of the NFC North, they would tell you that there's no way. They would tell you they are a 14-15 win team that is safely in the playoffs, on their way to a number one seed in the NFC and a bye. But that's wrong. Severely wrong. The Detroit Lions are only 8-8. The problem is they've scored 462 points this year. 462 points. But they've also given up 397. This is near the top in the NFL. Actually, when we take a look at the entire NFL standings and we look at points for, the Bills are the highest at 434. And then you have the Patriots right behind them, the Colts behind them at 419. And then you have the Patriots and the Jaguars at 410, that's points for. Points against is what we want to look at here. Sorry. The Cowboys, 477, 434, and 412. Those are all the Giants, Commanders, and Cowboys. But then you got the Arizona Cardinals at 414, 403 for the Tennessee Titans, 458 for the Bengals. These are the teams that the Detroit Lions are near because they've given up 397. They're going to eclipse that 400-point mark in this season, while Green Bay has only given up 303. The Vikings have only given up 330. The Eagles have only given up 289. Seahawks, 279. The Rams, 299. How are they supposed to compete when they can't keep teams off the board? As much as people want to blame the offense, don't get me wrong. Christmas Day, lots of problems from the offense. And people have wanted to blame the offense all year. But realistically, it's been the defense. The defense cannot get this team stops when they need them the most. That is the real issue at hand, is that this team cannot get stops when they need them the very most. They have to go out and score more points than the other team. And for the most part, that worked. It worked eight times this year. You know what also didn't work eight times? Trying to outscore the other team. You have to be able to make stops. You don't pay guys millions of dollars on the defensive side of the ball to not make stops and give up points. But, you know, that's what the Lions are doing. They are paying their defense to give up points. And it is costing them game after game after game. In fact, when we look at this year, they lost by 14. They lost by 13. They lost by 3. They lost by 7. They lost by 7. They lost by 7. They lost by 5. And they lost by 13. But then you look at their wins. They won by 31. They won by 8. They won by 24. They won by 13. They won again by 15. 22. Then they won by 7. Then they won by 14. Like, when they win by a sizable margin. But when they lose, they lose by a little bit because their team can't go out and make stops. They did not get blown out this year. Losing by 14, losing by 13 is not a blowout. It's two possessions. Every single one of their losses were two possessions or less, and that's because the defense couldn't make a stop. And at the same time, in some of those games, the offense couldn't do a thing either. Only put up 13 against the Packers in week one. Only put up 17 against the Chiefs way back earlier in the season. Only put up 9 points against the Eagles. Only put up 10 points on Christmas Day against the Vikings. The offense has its problems. Not saying it's all in the defense, but the defense certainly didn't help this offense this year. Diving into this game from Christmas Day, Max Brosmer went out and won the football game for the Vikings. Not literally, but he helped them do it. I mean, 51 passing yards on 9 of 16. Jordan Addison, really the savior of the day, had a late touchdown in this game to really close things out. And it was a rushing touchdown as he led the team in rushing yards on 65 rushing yards, one carry, and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson led the team in receptions, just 30 yards on 4 receptions. Andrew Van Ginkel, the guy had a game. He had 2 fumble recoveries, and he had 1.5 sacks, multiple tackles and tackles for loss. He was all over the place in this game. And you had Blake Cashman, 17 tackles, 6 of them being solo. On the other side, Jared Goff, 18 of 29 for 197, a touchdown and 2 interceptions. He also had 2 fumbles in this game. Jahmyr Gibbs, 17 carries, 41 rushing yards, and a fumble. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 8 receptions, 68 receiving yards. Al-Quaydeed Muhammad had 2 sacks, and Daniel Thomas, 7 tackles, 3 of them solo. The Lions outgained the Vikings 231 to 161 in this game. But as I said before, the Lions had 6 turnovers in this game. 16 first downs to 11 in favor of the Lions. 5 penalties for 25 yards for the Lions, 3 for 20 for the Vikings, 5 for 14 on third down, 3 for 13, Lions and Vikings respectively. 2 for 2 on fourth down were the Lions, and they each were 1 for 1 in the red zone. Aaron Jones got things started in this game with a 1-yard touchdown rush, and then Isaac Tesla tied things up with 1:05 left in the second quarter with a 4-yard touchdown pass from Jared Goff. Then Will Reichard kind of took over the game for a second. He had a 52-yard field goal with 3 minutes left in the third. Then a 56-yard field goal with 1:57 left in the third. Jake Biggs came back and said, anything you can do, I can do as well. Knocks in a 48-yard field goal with 4:39 in the fourth. There goes Jordan Addison's touchdown with 3:43, 65-yard rush left in the fourth. And then Will Reichard had another 42-yard field goal to ice things out, 23-10 with 1:04 left in the fourth. I mean, this is how kind of the game script went. Punt for the Vikings on their first. Punt for the Lions. Punt for the Vikings and a fumble for the Lions and a touchdown for the Vikings. That's the first quarter. Then you get the second quarter. A fumble for the Lions. A punt for the Vikings. A touchdown for the Lions. Then a punt. Then the end of the half. Then you get a punt for the Lions. A punt for the Vikings. An interception by the Lions, field goal for the Vikings, an interception by the Lions, a field goal for the Vikings, a fumble by the Lions, a punt by the Vikings, punt by the Lions, punt by the Vikings, a field goal for the Lions, touchdown for the Vikings, fumble by the Lions, field goal by the Vikings and then the end of the game. So as you can see, the Lions were never able to just have the ball for an extended period of time in this game and then be able to move it downfield because the turnover monster just dominated them. That's what visited them for Christmas this year, was the turnover monster. And it sucked for them because they had six of them. They were never able to get their footing in this game, and the Vikings took a hold of that, even with their third-string quarterback in the game, and Max Brosmer, who only had his second career NFL start in this game. He figured out how to make it work. He went out there, only had 51 total passing yards, but in this game, in fact, the Vikings only had three actual passing yards in this game based off of all of the sacks that he took and, passing plays behind the line of scrimmage that lost passing yards. But they had 158 rushing yards, and they were able to turn the Lions over 1,001 times, it seemed. And that right there is what gave the Vikings the win. So now there's a big question for the Vikings and what they want to do going into next week. Now, I'm going to be selfish here. All right, so first off, I would love for the Lions to go in and beat the Bears. Because I would love for the Bears to lose to the 49ers this week. And, you know, hey, maybe, just maybe, the Packers beat the Ravens and beat the Vikings. And, oh, well, would you look at that? The Green Bay Packers at 11-5-1 would win the NFC North. I would love it. It would be amazing. And we would be the 2 seed. The Bears would be the 7 seed. Amazing, right? Well, that might not be the case. And that is A-okay with me. Because the Bears could go out and beat the Lions because the Lions may want to have that fourth spot. Because as we know, with scheduling in the NFL, where you finish in your division is based on what teams you play. So there are 3 teams outside of the conference that you will play, right? So there's the division. You'll play them twice every year. And then each division plays 3 other divisions, the entire division, to make up their schedule. And then they have 1 division where they will play select teams. So the Lions will play every 4th place team from those divisions and the divisions that the NFC North isn't playing the entire division. That sounded weird, but trust me, it'll make more sense next year when you see the rosters and how they played out. It's honestly part of the reason why the Bears did so good this year is the NFC North had a great schedule already, and then the Bears are playing with a 4th place schedule, which gave them a little more games that were more their speed and they were able to take control of, and they handled them. This is no slight or disrespect to the Bears. They handled their business because you still got to go out and play the games. And they did exactly that. They handled their business, played the games, and won them. But a Lions win next week would be huge for the Green Bay Packers. So I am personally rooting for that, but I would totally understand if the Lions decide not to win that game to try and help their draft purposes and to also, you know, help that schedule the following year and be in that 4th place spot to try and find themselves back near the top of the NFC North next year. I am not opposed to either side because the Packers are in the playoffs. So I'm happy. And most likely we're going to be playing the Bears regardless of how it plays out with what seeding. It'll just depend on where the game is. And personally, I would love to have that game in Lambeau versus Soldier Field. But I am okay with either side because the Packers are simply just better than the Bears. I think even a couple weeks ago when they lost in overtime, it was Malik Willis, who then almost got hurt and is basically hurt right now. And you still, Bears were barely able to beat the Packers. I'm happy with where the Packers are sitting at the moment. The Lions, tons of decisions to make over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, they're also going to start to look at their free agency and their draft. So we'll touch in with the Lions again after, you know, the playoffs are over and see what it is that they're going to be doing with their free agents. Are there any free agents they're going to be going after? And then what are their draft ideas like? And then as soon as we get their schedule out, we'll talk about their schedule and how favorable it will be for them, whether they're in the 3rd or the 4th spot in the NFC North. they're going to have a very favorable schedule for them. The only way they get in fourth is if they decide to go out and lose, or if they both win. It all comes down to tiebreakers, but if they have the same record as Minnesota, they will be in fourth. If they have the better record, they'll be in third. But either way, it will be favorable. We'll come back after the break, and we're going to talk about Michigan, Michigan State, and we're also sprinkling Michigan football as well with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Tick.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Remember, always be generous with the nutmeg. Just eyeball it.
Okay.
Mom's wisdom has served you well, but now it may be your turn to guide her.
Hey, I'm worried about Mom. She keeps forgetting her famous sweet potato pie recipe.
Some things come with age, sis.
And some don't.
Knowing the early signs of Alzheimer's in a loved one will help you make the best decisions for your family. Visit 10signs.org to learn the signs. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Your family is your legacy. Planning for a natural disaster will make sure you're all safe. Visit ready.gov/plan today for the tools and tips you need to protect that legacy. That's ready.gov/plan. A message brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to talk about some college sports. We have some pretty big things to touch on. We're going to start with Michigan football. Then we'll skip on over to East Lansing and touch on a Michigan State basketball before popping back over to Ann Arbor and touching into Chrysler Center with the Michigan Wolverines basketball team. But the most important news right now, Michigan football still searching for its coach. It says timing has been the issue in Michigan's coaching searches. Everybody knows the coaching carousel pretty much gets started at the end of the regular season as teams start to fire their coaches with about 2 to 3 weeks left in the season because they realize things aren't going the way that they need to. So then tons of coaches start getting released and there's tons of coaches up for jobs and teams or schools start going after other schools' offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators and their head coaches and seeing how things will mix around and seeing what jobs are available. Michigan's kind of in that position where there are no good coaches left because all the good coaches got scooped up earlier in the carousel, and nobody expected Michigan to be an available job at this time of the year. So a lot of those coaches that are Michigan caliber coaches have gone somewhere else because they said, you know what? Our success is we got to go somewhere. We can't wait to see what else is going to be open. Our time to find a good job is now, and Michigan is missing out on that to some extent. But they have found a focused for their head coaching job. They have went after Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham as the focus of their coaching search. Whittingham recently stepped down, not retired, but stepped down as Utah's head coach and described himself as entering the transfer portal. Whittingham is 66. He went 177-88, 21 seasons at the Utah as the coach of the Utah Utes, including a perfect 13-0 season in 2008, where he was able to win a bowl game that year as well. So success is something that Whittingham knows. He knows it at the Power 4 level, as he did it with them, Power 5 and Power 4, because he did the success thing with them in the Pac-12, going 13-0 in 2008. But now that they've shifted over to the Big 12, he still had success in the Big 12. Utah, one of the better teams in the Big 12 for the last couple of years. He knows how to navigate college football, knows how to navigate the transfer portal, knows how to navigate NIL, and he knows how to keep himself out of trouble. 21 seasons at the helm of any program with very little to no scandals tied to your name is pristine work, and that is exactly what Michigan needs at this moment, is a fresh, clean slate with a whole new regimen that has nothing tied to its name, nothing to be worried about, and nothing but good expectations up ahead. And I think Kyle Whittingham is that guy, but they got to go out and get him. They got to put the right things in front of him, and they got to make sure that they get him to sign paper as soon as possible. They want to get it done before their bowl game on the 31st, but there's no telling if that will actually happen. And then once they get him in, Kyle Whittingham has to go to work. He's got to make sure he keeps Bryce Underwood and Jordan Marshall, Andrew Marsh, Bryson Kuzdahl, try and get Justice Haynes back, Donovan McCulley, et cetera. Keep these guys in Michigan jerseys and don't let them stray away in the transfer portal. Some guys have already thought about hitting the transfer portal. Some guys have put their name into it because it's the reality of a situation when a coach leaves. You don't know what's happening next. You don't know who's coming in. You don't know if they'll like you. You don't know if you'll keep your spot. You don't know if the team will still be successful. So you try and find your success where you can. And I'm scared that that could happen to this Michigan Wolverines team, depending on how long it takes them to get Kyle Whittingham in the building, if that's who they end up hiring. If not, it could spell out real trouble if they're not able to get a guy like Whittingham in the building and do it soon. We will touch on their game against the Texas Longhorns later on in the show during our pick segment, when we will be picking that game and deliberating and talking about how I believe so-and-so will beat so-and-so. You didn't think I was going to tell you this early, did you? Come on now. You got to know me better than that. Let's shift on over to the hardwood. We're talking about the ninth-ranked Michigan State Spartans, who are 11-1 on the year. They're tied for first in the Big Ten with Nebraska, Michigan, Purdue, and UCLA at 2-0. Michigan State's lone loss this year is to fourth-ranked Duke, 66-60. Now, the last time we talked, they had just came off of a tight win against Penn State and then a blowout win over Toledo. Well, let me tell you, they had another tight game shortly after that. They played Oakland. Oakland was 6-6 coming into this game. Michigan State was obviously 10-1, right? Oakland is now 6-7. I'm kidding. You know, I had to do it for the one time. And Michigan State is 11-1, but I'm telling you, this game was far closer than you would have thought. We have Taburu Nivi-Luara, who had 18 points on 6 of 11 shooting and 4 for 4 from the free throw line. Isaac Garrett had 6 rebounds, and Brody Robinson had 8 assists with only 2 turnovers in 40 minutes. That was to lead Oakland. Cohen Carr had 22 points, 8 of 13 shooting, 5 of 7 from the free throw line. Jackson Kohler had 13 rebounds, 5 of them on the offensive end. And then Kerr Tang had 5 assists and 1 turnover in 20 minutes. Michigan State shot 46%, while Oakland shot 43%. Michigan State only 27% from behind the arc. Oakland 45%. Michigan State 11 turnovers. Oakland just 12. 42 rebounds for the Spartans compared to just 26 for the Grizzlies. This was basketball in the D, as this was played at Little Caesars Arena on the Detroit Pistons court on December 20th. And let me tell you, Michigan State won by 9. Michigan State won this game by 9. It was 70-79. At halftime, Michigan State led by 3, 39-36. And then they used a 40-34 second half to end up winning by 9, having that difference of 6 in the second half, 3 in the first, totaling up to 9. But it's quite the scary game for anybody in a Michigan State fan. Jackson Kohler had a double-double with 13-13. Carson Cooper had 15-5. Jeremy Fears arguably had his worst game in a Michigan State jersey ever. 2 points, 1 for 6 from the field, 0 for 2 from the three-point line, 0 for 1 from the free throw line, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 turnovers, 2 steals, 1 personal foul. Not a great game for him, but you do get 10-5 off the bench from Kerr Tang. Jordan Scott has 6-4. You got 8 points from Jesse McCullough as well. So this team is starting to figure out how to win the tough games. But if you ask my opinion, Oakland should never be a tough game for a team like Michigan State. So that's something to keep their eyes on. They do have Cornell coming up on Tuesday, 9 p.m. on Peacock. Or excuse me, sorry, 7 p.m. on FS1 against Cornell on Tuesday, December 29th. And then they will play Nebraska at Nebraska, 9 p.m. on Peacock on December 2nd. 13th ranked Nebraska, undefeated. One of two undefeated teams in the Big Ten is Nebraska. The other, obviously, the Michigan Wolverines. And this will be the first tough test for Nebraska. Another tough test for Michigan State, who has already beaten Arkansas, who was ranked 14th at the time. Kentucky was ranked 12th at the time. North Carolina, who was ranked 16th at the time, and then lost by six to fourth-ranked Duke. So the work's cut out for Nebraska, but so is for Michigan State. That should be an amazing game. And then they got USC on the 5th, 8:30 p.m. on FS1. So two back-to-back ranked games once they get into Big Ten play. The Spartans surely will have a fun time with that schedule. Then let's pop back over to Ann Arbor. Your Michigan Wolverines. 11-0, first in the Big Ten, 2-0 in the Big Ten. They've been on a run, as we know. They just took care of LaSalle last week, 102-50, 52-point victory, their largest of the game or the year. Not even going to go into all the specifics of that game. It was a huge blowout, and there's no reason to even look into that. Their next matchup is going to be against McNeese. That is a 7 p.m. game. It's going to be on Big Ten Plus on December 29th. The only thing bad about this game is it's on Big Ten Plus. One, the streams on Big Ten Plus are terrible. Two, I'm not paying for Big Ten Plus. I'll rather just find another way to watch it. And if I can't watch it, I guess I'll be scoreboard watching / tweet watching because I'm not paying for that. And then things get real for Michigan. They got USC on the 2nd, 7 p.m. on Peacock. And then they got Penn State on the 6th, 7 p.m. on FS1 to open up Big Ten play for them. Only one ranked team in USC who may not even be ranked by then, but Penn State unranked, Wisconsin, Washington, Oregon, Indiana. They have quite the run in front of them as well, but Michigan looks to be pacing far better than every other team in the Big Ten. It's not even close with the way that Michigan has run the table with teams. Don't get me wrong. They had their close games. Wake Forest by 1, TCU by 4. But other than that, Michigan's been on a run. No team has been able to get closer than 18. And that team that lost by 18 was, 28. They lost that game by 28, and that was Villanova. They've been the closest team outside of, Middle Tennessee State at 86-61. So that's 25. They've been the closest team outside of Wake Forest and TCU. Everyone else hasn't even come close. The Michigan Wolverines are in a league of their own and are a step above basically everybody else in the country. And the only thing that could stop them at this moment is themselves. And the crazy part is their coach, Dusty May, says this team has another gear. They haven't even reached their fullest potential. They can go even higher because this team is so talented. He said, the one thing that surprised them is how quickly they gelled together with each other. He's like, all these different guys coming from all these different places. And, you know, chemistry is the hardest thing to do, but these guys made it look so easy. They just gelled right together on the court. And they said it's easy playing with other guys that are that good because you don't worry about if the guy can make it happen or if he's able to score, or you don't have to be worried about him doing his job because he's doing it and all you have to do is focus on doing yours. So now everybody's just focused on knowing their role and then fulfilling that role to the utmost and producing every single night. And that's when you get scores like 94-54, 102-72, 101-61, 101-60, 101-83, 102-50. That is how you get scores like that. Michigan is showing pure dominance. We'll touch in with Michigan and Michigan State next week, but when we come back, we'll be talking Little Caesars Arena, the Pistons and the Red Wings, with more Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What, the job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to step into Little Caesars Arena and talk about some indoor professional sports. Well, no slight to the Lions, who also play indoor, but football is technically an outdoor sport in the city of Detroit. Our Detroit Pistons and our Detroit Red Wings. We're going to open up with the Pistons, who are still doing their thing, dominating in the NBA. They're 24-6. First in the Central Division, first in the Eastern Conference. As we pull up these full NBA standings, they're three games above the New York Knicks, who are 21-9. The Celtics are 5.5 games back at 18-11. The Raptors, 6.5 back at 18-13. 76ers, 16-12, 7 games back, and so are the Magic at 17-13. That makes up your top six. Your 7 through 10, 17-15 are the Cavaliers, 8 games back from the Pistons. 15-15 are the Heat, 9 games back. 15-16 are the Hawks at 9.5 games back. The Bulls also 9.5 games back at 14-15, making up your 7 through 10 for the play-in in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, the Oklahoma City Thunder are 26-5. They lead the entire NBA and the Western Conference. Spurs 23-7, 2.5 games back. The Nuggets 22-8, 3.5 games back. Lakers 19-10, 6 games back. Timberwolves 20-11. They're 6 games back, and 6.5 games back are the Rockets at 18-10. That makes up your top six. 16-13, 9 games back are the Suns. 16-15, 10 games behind are the Warriors. 11.5 games back are the Grizzlies at 14-16. The Trailblazers make up the last bit of that stretch. 12-18, 13.5 games back. That's your 7 through 10 for the play-in in the West. When you look at the entire NBA, the Pistons are only 1.5 games behind the Thunder for that lead in the entire NBA, and they are a game above the Spurs for second place as they confidently dominate the division. As we mentioned, the Bucks are 12 games behind at 12-18, and the Pacers are 6-24, 18 games behind the Pistons. So the Pistons are off and running, looking well. Team leaders, Cade Cunningham, 26.4 points per game, shooting 45.9 percent from the field, as 9.4 assists and 3.9 turnovers, all of that in 35.9 minutes per game. You got Jalen Duren, 18.5 points per game, 63.2% from the field, 11.1 rebounds, 6.7 on defensive end, 4.4 on the offensive end, all in 29 minutes of play. Okay, Cunningham also averaging 1.6 steals per game, and then you got Isaiah Stewart, who has 6 rebounds, 0.2 steals, and 1.9 blocks per game. The team is averaging 119.2 points per game, 47.1 rebounds, and 26.6 assists. Now, the last time we talked about our Pistons, they were getting ready to go on a road trip out west after they had just took down Charlotte with, or excuse me, they took down Charlotte last Saturday with no problems, 112-86, and now the road trip starts. They took down Portland Monday night, 110-102, took down Sacramento, 136-127. They played Utah last night, as you know. I recorded this Friday, so I'm not sure how that played out. Then they had the Clippers on Sunday before playing the Lakers on Tuesday, and then Miami on Thursday before we get to speak again. So it's a chance for them to continue this win streak, which after a double, after an overtime loss by 2 to the Mavericks, they have back at 3 games after beating Charlotte, Portland, and Sacramento. They'll look to bump that up to 6 as they finish off this road trip before coming home for a game against the Miami Heat, hoping to push that to 7 once they get back to Little Caesars Arena. I mean, the framework is laid out for them. Cade Cunningham's playing at an unreal level. Jalen Duren is right behind him, being his Batman. You have Jaden Ivey coming back and stepping into his role as he begins to really become himself after his injury. Tobias Harris is back playing. I mean, the rotation is at an unreal level. Asar Thompson, you hope to get Ron Holland back at some point once he's healthy again. I mean, this team is loaded right now. They're not necessarily as deep as some other teams, but they play at a high level and they win games. As you can see, they've been winning games all year. I don't expect that to change anytime soon, but they do have a tough stretch running up, especially since they're on the road for all this time. But if they can keep winning games, who cares if they're on the road? I mean, Tobias Harris showed out with 24 points to lead all scorers. Cade Cunningham had 14 assists in that game. Jalen Duren, 13 rebounds. So the team knows how to ball. They know how to use each other, and they know how to have success. So I expect to see more of that out of our Detroit Pistons. Wow, the Lions are in my head so much after helping the Packers get into the playoffs that I just can't stop talking about them. Detroit Pistons expect to see more success. We're going to bounce over to the guys who let them be roommates. The Detroit Red Wings, who did build Little Caesars Arena and brought in the Pistons, are also seeing success this year. They are 22-13-3, and you know where that lands them? First in the Atlantic Division with 47 points. We'll get over on to those full standings in the NHL. Looking at the Atlantic Division, Montreal 2 points behind at 20-12-5. And then you have the Lightning, who are 4 points behind with 43 at 20-13-3. 42 points for the Panthers at 20-14-2. Ottawa 18-13-5 with 41. They're tied with Boston, who's 20-17-1. And then you got Buffalo Sabres with 40 points at 18-14-4. And the Maple Leafs are 16-15-5 for 37 points. Looking at the league overall, the Red Wings are sitting in fifth as the Avalanche have basically run away with this season already. 61 points at 27-2-7. The Stars, 56 points at 25-7-6. And the Minnesota Wild are 22-10-6 at 50 points. And then tied with the Red Wings with 47 points are the Hurricanes, who are 22-11-3. So the Red Wings keeping pace and looking to hold on to one of those Eastern Conference spots as they are first in that Atlantic Division. So that does grant them a spot in the playoffs for now, as they are second in the entire, well, technically tied for first in the entire Eastern Conference with Carolina. So the success is there for the Red Wings as well. Looking at the leaders for them, DeBrincat has 20 goals, 9 of them on the power play on 139 shots. You got Lucas Raymond with 30 assists, 12 on the power play. His plus minus is 7. Lucas Raymond also leads the team in 41 points as he has 11 goals to go with those 30 assists. Cam Talbot, 3 goals against on 54 goals that he's given up. 0.887 on his save percentage. John Gibson does still have the lead on him in that save percentage spot at 0.891 with 497 saves against 558 shots. And then John Gibson has 12 wins on the year as well, as he's given up just 3.01 goals against. So Cam Talbot just barely beating him out for that lead. And then goals per game, 3.11 for your Red Wings. 3.16 is what they're giving up, and that's 20th in the league. Power play is 24.8% on the year. That's 8th in the league. And penalty kill, 80.4%, which is 18th in the league. The last time we talked about the Red Wings, they were coming off of a loss to the Mammoth. Then they went out and they swept Washington 5-2. Then they beat them 3-2 in overtime. Then they took care of the Dallas Stars 4-3 in overtime as well. They have a huge matchup later today against none other than the Carolina Hurricanes for first place in the Eastern Conference. This is a huge game. Then they got Toronto coming in on Sunday. They see Winnipeg on Wednesday and Pittsburgh on Thursday before seeing them again on Saturday. But we'll talk again before they see Pittsburgh. So if they can keep the wins going, I mean, maybe they can get this up to a 7 or 8 game win streak before we're able to talk again, and maybe they're able to extend it beyond that. But I mean, the proof is in the pudding. If they're able to hold teams to looks to be two or less goals, they have a great chance of winning that game. Once teams get to three, four, or five goals, it starts to get a little bit harder for them to win those games. But if they can cap them and keep them under that two-goal limit, Red Wings could see a lot of success. Good things happening in Little Caesars Arena. We'll touch back in on both of those teams next week. When we come back from the break, we're getting in on our picks with Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Morning. Back in the Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to get into one of my favorite parts of the show. Time for picks. Every show, we pick six games, and I see how well I know ball and if I'm able to pick who will win these games and who won't. Sometimes I have good weeks and sometimes I don't. The cool thing about this whole thing is that you can play along right with us. Use the chat feature in the Ticket app and submit your picks. Listen to me. Hear the games that we pick, write them down, listen to me deliberate, listen to me make a fool of myself sometimes, listen to me sound really smart, do your own deliberation, do your own research, and then submit your picks. Type them in, let us know who you're picking for these games, and see if you are able to do better than I am. See if you know ball better than your boy, and maybe I'll get you something special. Don't forget, Jacob was never able to beat me when we had our picks going on. Three rounds of picks. I was 2-0-1. Yes, there was one tie in there, one tie, but that's not a loss. So therefore, your boy is technically still undefeated, and I'm waiting for somebody to come and beat me. Run your chances using the chat feature in the Ticket app, but we're about to get into another picks week. But before we do that, I got to talk about last week. Your boy had a rough go at it last week. Your boy went 2-4. Ole Miss and Oregon took care of business and handed me some wins, but as we know, my Packers lost to the Bears. Disgusting work. The Broncos lost to the Jags in what was actually a fantastic game. And then the Lions lost to the Steelers. I was hoping they would make things interesting down the stretch, but they just were not able to do that. And Texas A&M lost to Miami. There goes their college football playoff run. Didn't see that happening so quickly, but unfortunately, it did. So after a 2-4 weekend last week, your boys bumped up to 68-40. So I'm still doing just fine. I'm well above 500 at 28 games above, so that's almost five full weeks of picks that I would have to go 0-6 in order for me to be 500 again or below. So I'm doing great, and I'm happy with what I got. Let's get into another picks week. It's more college football as it is bowl week, and there's more college football playoff to get into as well. Before we talk about the playoff, though, we're going to talk a couple bowl games first. The first one coming up, it's the Pop-Tarts Bowl. This game is later today, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. The 22nd ranked Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets are 9-3. Will take on the 12th ranked BYU Cougars, who are 11-2. They're giving the Yellow Jackets a 34.3% chance, 65.7 for BYU. This game will be at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida. Haynes King, who many thought should have been in the Heisman conversation, leads this team like no other. 2,697 passing yards on 230 of 321, 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, but he also has 922 rushing yards on 178 carries and 15 touchdowns. They have losses to Georgia, Pitt, and NC State, but they have wins over Boston College and Syracuse in their last five. BYU, on the other hand, has losses to Texas Tech twice. Their only two losses of the year, they have beat UCF, Cincinnati, and TCU in their last five. As fun as this game will be, we know how fun the Pop-Tarts Bowl is. We know what the Pop-Tarts Bowl has become over the last couple of years. This will be a fantastic game. Georgia Tech defense will come out to play as the Cougars are only a four-point favorite. 55.5 sits on the over-under. Negative 180 for the Cougars, plus 150 for the Yellow Jackets. So this game is expected to be close. It will be tight, but I think BYU has a slight edge coming from the Pac-12 in comparison to that ACC, where Georgia Tech still struggled in that ACC that is nowhere near as good as the Pac-12, in my opinion. I'm going to take BYU to finish out strong this year, end their year 12-2, and be Pop-Tart Bowl champions, and to munch into that Pop-Tart, the giant Pop-Tart that is going to be available after the game. Now, time to shift over to another bowl game happening before we step into the college football playoff. It is the Cheez-Its Citrus Bowl. New Year's Eve, December 31st, 3 p.m. on ABC. You know where else it's going to be? 95.3, The Ticket. The 18th ranked Michigan Wolverines, 9-3, will take on the 13th ranked Texas Longhorns, who are also 9-3. 42.6% chance for the Wolverines, a 57.4% chance for Texas. This game will also be at Camping World Stadium in Orlando, Florida. 8.5-point favorites are the Texas Longhorns, 48.5 on the over-under, negative 345 for Texas, plus 275 for the Wolverines. Bryce Underwood versus Arch Manning, Jordan Marshall versus Quintravian Wisner, Andrew Marsh versus Ryan Wingo, Derek Moore, Colin Simmons, Jimmy Rolder, Jelani McDonald. I mean, 4-1 in their last five for both these teams. Texas 6-2 in their conference, Michigan 7-2, both 9-3. We know how close this game is going to be. And if you think I'm picking against Michigan, you got another thing coming. I would never in my life. I don't like the burnt orange anyway. The horns are going down. Give me the Wolverines to win their last game of the year, finish 10-3, and then hopefully get a great coach in to keep this team together and try and recreate magic over the next couple of years. Now let's step into the college football playoff. The first game is December 31st, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. It's the Miami Hurricanes, the 10th ranked team in the country, who are 11-2, taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are 12-1. Number two team in the country. Their only loss to the number one ranked Indiana Hoosiers. Ohio State opening up 9.5-point favorites, 42.5 on the over-under, negative 355, plus 280 for the Hurricanes on that money line. 70.5% for Ohio State, 29.5% for Miami. This game will be at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. 5-0 for Miami in their last five, 4-1 for Ohio State. And as I just mentioned, that ACC ain't all that special to me, so I'm not going to backtrack and act like Miami's got enough to beat Ohio State. I would love for them to beat Ohio State. Will I be hate watching Ohio State? Absolutely. I hope that they lose. I don't want the Buckeyes to win another national championship, but I don't think that loss will come at the hands of the Miami Hurricanes. Carson Beck is great, but I just don't think they have enough defensively to stop the Ohio State Buckeyes offense. And also, it ain't easy scoring on Ohio State. I mean, 9 points for Michigan, 9 for Rutgers, 10 for UCLA, 10 for Purdue, 10 for Ohio State. It's a hard team to score on. Granted, Miami, 3 points, 7 points, 17 points, 7 points, 10 points. There aren't a lot of teams putting up points on Miami either, but I'm trusting Ohio State a little bit more than Miami, which is just gross to say, in my opinion. Moving on to the second game. 4 p.m. on January 1st, ESPN, the 9th-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide are 11-3, taking on the 13th-ranked Indiana Hoosiers. 71.4% for Indiana, 28.6% for Alabama. 6.5-point favorites are the Hoosiers, 48.5 on the over-under. Negative 245 for Indiana, plus 200 for Alabama. Bama's lost two games in their last five. Indiana's 5-0, and I mean, after beating last year's national champion, wiping the floor with many teams this season, having the Heisman winner on their team, Bama would probably be the one team that could put them out, but they also haven't looked great. I mean, they beat Oklahoma by 10. They lost to Georgia by a shellacking in the SEC championship 28-7, barely beat Auburn by 7, and they lost to Oklahoma a couple weeks ago back on the 15th of November by 2. There's holes in Alabama. I haven't seen many holes in Indiana, and that's where I got to go. I have to err on the side of caution and go with the team that has been better this year, the team that has shown that they are better than every other team that they've been put on the field against, and a team that has everything to lose yet nothing to lose. Indiana, they're the number one team in the country, which is something they haven't done in maybe ever, and they're possibly going to make a run for a national championship. This team has already succeeded. Already succeeded. Of course, they want more, but they're playing basically with house money, so there's no reason for them to be concerned. I got Indiana winning this game as well. That gets us over to the third game of the quarterfinals. The Oregon Ducks are 12-1, fifth-ranked team in the country. They're going to take on the Texas Tech Red Raiders. This is actually, sorry, the second game. The last game was the third game because this game will be at noon on ESPN. 48.4% chance for Oregon, 51.6% chance for Texas Tech. Oregon currently 2.5-point favorites, 52.5 on the over-under, negative 125 on the money line for Oregon, plus 105 for Texas Tech. Texas Tech has looked great this year. Great. They're 5-0 in their last five, and so is Oregon. Oregon has been running the table. This game will be at Miami Gardens, Florida, at Hard Rock Stadium. This game is going to be so much fun as, you know, Baron Morton and Dante Moore will go at it. Noah Whittington and Cameron Dickey. You got Malik Benson and Caleb Douglas. And then the defenses have been doing their thing all year. 7-0, 9-7-20. That's the points given up in the last five for Texas Tech. Meanwhile, Oregon, 34-14, 27-13, 16. Tight fit. Oregon has some defensive troubles. Their offense has struggled sometime this year as well. But the difference is I think the Big Ten is a little bit better than the Big 12. This may come back to bite me, but I'm going to take the 5-seed Oregon Ducks to upset the 4-seed Texas Tech Raiders, which, like I said, could definitely come back to bite me in the future. But I got to go with my gut and say that the Big Ten is a little bit better because that is what I believe. And then you got Ole Miss and Georgia wrapping things up, 8 p.m. on the 1st. 6th-ranked Ole Miss Rebels, 12-1, taking on Georgia, who's also 12-1, right? 6.5-point favorites are the Georgia Bulldogs, 55.5 on the over-under, negative 250 on the money line for Georgia, plus 195 for Ole Miss, 39.9% for Ole Miss, 60.1 for Georgia. I've been doing it all year. I think I'm going to keep doing it because what do I have to lose? I'm going to rock with Ole Miss. They're playing with house money in this game. Everybody expects Georgia to continue doing well, to continue moving on, to try and get back to the national championship. But what are they expecting of Ole Miss? Not much, if you ask me. Ole Miss playing with house money, backs against the wall. Nothing but success could be in front of them. And I like their chances. Trinidad Chambliss has made it difficult for teams all year long on the defensive end to try and stop him as a dual threat quarterback. In fact, looking back, Georgia played Ole Miss this year and they only beat them 43-35. So Trinidad Chambliss has chances to make this game everything that we want it to be. So I'm going to trust them to do that. I'm going to take Ole Miss to shock the world and beat Georgia. So that gives me BYU, Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, Texas, or Oregon, and Ole Miss in this round of picks. Coming up this weekend, we got the doubleheader between the Ravens and the Packers and the Texans and Chargers coming up later today. That's 4:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. And then we got Sunday night football with the Bears and 49ers tomorrow. And then on Monday, you got the Rams and Falcons wrapping things up on Monday night football. I hope you guys have an amazing weekend, and I will be doing the same as well. Go Pack Go! Thank you to the Lions as we are in the playoffs. We'll be back with more Mid-Madness next week right here on 95.3 The Tick.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app. Sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.